Everybody else remain standing. We'll go ahead and receive our offering tonight. Amen. Everybody just remain standing. Let's. Amen. Amen. All right. All right, let's give now. If you didn't get it in Sunday, get it in tonight. Lord bless you for it. We give we ask everybody to give $5 on Wednesday night, at least. I always pull out my $5 and bring it. If sometimes I look and I didn't have nothing but a 10, and I think, oh, well, can't give tonight. The Lord says, just give that 10 then. And so I try to do that. That's right. Make up for that Wednesday night I'm not here preaching, or I'm gone off somewhere. Let's everybody give tonight. Get in the habit of that. The Lord will bless you for it. Hope you'll give. You'll never, ever, ever go wrong giving to the Lord. It's scriptural. It's right. And I'm not ashamed to tell you that. I believe in it. So let's give tonight, okay? Heavenly Father, thank you so much for all that you've done for us. Lord, I'm glad that we've got buses. Lord, I'm glad for them. I thank you. I believe you gave them to us. Lord, I believe every one of them boys and girls that's here Sunday are precious in your sight. Lord, I know many of them, the only gospel they're going to hear will be right here in this church. I pray that you'd bless our buses, keep them running, keep them safe, bless our drivers, fill them full, use them for thy glory, bless every worker, encourage everybody. We'll thank you for it. Bless this offering now. Let the need be met. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's do something special tonight. God bless you. Let's go to the book of James, chapter 5. The book of James, chapter 5. We're going to try to finish this up here tonight. That's too loud, brother. All right, James, chapter number 5. James, chapter 5. Now, what we've been studying in here on Wednesday night is divine healing in the Bible. And I want you to make sure you get a balanced view of this. You've got to. There's ditches on both sides of the road. There's churches tonight that they put all the emphasis on healing, and they'll say, boy, we had a great time. 10 got healed, this one got healed, that one got healed. And they won't admit it, but the main part of that service is the healing line and the healing service. Then on the other hand, there's Baptists over here that just say, oh, bless God, that's a bunch of fanatics, bunch of crackpots, we don't believe, and they'll never believe in healing. I believe there ought to be more people being healed in Baptist churches. Because God can heal and God does heal. Amen? Amen. Don't ever get too far this way and start thinking, well, God don't do that no more, all them people crazy. No, they're not. People do get healed. People do get saved. People do get healed. Now, we studied these scriptures last week about Isaiah 53. We got into that. Where it says, by his stripes you were healed. And we talked to you about how that you hear a lot of these healers come on TV and they'll say, well, see, your healing is in the atonement. Just like your salvation is in the atonement, your healing's in the atonement. So when it says, Lord, forgive me my sins, Jesus died for your sins, he also died for your sicknesses. So therefore, the minute you get saved, you get your sins forgiven. The minute you get saved, you get healed also. Now that's partially right and partially wrong. And the truth is, you don't get all the benefits of the atonement when you get saved. You get salvation instantly, but if you got a finger cut off like that and you get saved, you don't grow a new finger. Your flesh don't even change. I've never heard of people about like being sick and when they got saved immediately got well. If If healing, if it's never God's will for anybody to be sick, or never, if it's God's will for everybody to always be well, put it that way, then nobody'd ever die. Christians would never die. You'd just get healed and healed and healed and healed. Lord, did some of them be here 300 and 400 years old walking around. But the truth is, something's going to get you. And we believe God can heal. We believe God does heal. But don't try to make the Bible say something it don't say. And your healing is in the atonement, but you don't get all the benefits of the atonement at the moment you get saved. That's the best way I know how to say it. Well, what happens is, when I got saved, my soul's saved. I'm born again in the Spirit. My body is paid for. It's paid for. He bought us. He sought me and he bought me. But we wait, according to Romans chapter 8, for the redemption of our body. We wait on the redemption of our body. Now when the Lord comes, I get a new body, then my body is born again. My flesh. It'll never get sick. It'll never sin. Never, ever, ever again. The world's the same way. Jesus, he said the field is the world. Jesus died. He died for the world. Not just people, the world. The planet that was under a curse. And when he died, see, the world is bought and paid for. It's bought and paid for, just like me and you. Then the world gets born again at the millennium. When the millennium starts, the earth is born again. Just like me and you get saved. It's still not perfect, but it'll still have rebellion in it. It'll still have Satan, even at the end of the millennium, going to come and rebel against God when he's let out of his prison. So the earth in the millennium is a picture of me and you now. Me and you now are born again, but we don't have our new body yet. The earth is born again during the millennium, and then the earth gets a new body in eternity. New heaven, new earth. The new earth is made out of the old earth. You ever read them scriptures that said the earth abideth forever? The end of the world's coming, but the end of the earth ain't coming. The earth ain't never going to cease to exist. God's going to make the new earth out of the old earth. It said, as a vesture, you'll fold them up and they shall be changed. So the new earth is made out of, just like our new body's made out of our new body, our old body. Do you know this body right here, I'll have forever and ever, but it'll just be changed into a new body that will be sinless. It said he'll change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body. And it said, in a moment we shall all be what? Changed. We're not going to drop this flesh and leave it here and get a new one up there. This one's going to turn into the new one. Isn't that amazing? So we're saved. We're born again. If I'm wrong, correct me, anybody. If I'm wrong. Okay. All right. We're born again, we get a new hope, we get a spirit inside of us, but our body ain't born again. At the rapture, our body is born again. We get a new one that won't never sin. So, and in the meantime, down here, we talked to you last week about how the spirit shifted from Jew to Gentile. There's not a miracle takes place in Jerusalem past Acts chapter 9. So, as you see the ministry shift, Paul said, You wouldn't listen. You crucified him, and we turned to the Gentiles. So when he started preaching to the Gentiles, the signs of an apostle to the Jews didn't operate like they did before. Now that's what gets Baptists in trouble right there. That's what gets me in trouble, saying, oh, you Baptists think the days of miracles are over. I didn't say that. God still can work miracles. He can make me speak Chinese right now, and he can raise a dead person right now. God has no problem. They say Jesus is the same yesterday and forever. He's the same, but he don't always work the same. The Lord never changes, but he does change how he deals with men. And I heard a man, I was listening, actually, Phil Kidd, I was listening to him preach the other day, and he said, he made a statement, and then somebody else, I was listening to two messages. He was talking about this rapture business in the church and the tribulation and stuff, and they made an interesting statement. He said, God never deals with Israel and the church at the same time. Think about that. God never deals with Israel and the church at the same time. That's a thought, you know it? You know, he dealt with Israel primarily in the Old Testament. Right now, he's dealing with the church. If a Jew gets saved, he's in the church. When the church is gone, he's going to go back to dealing with Israel again. That's why the tribulation is called Jacob's trouble. It's a Jewish time. And I don't even get off on all this. I'm just so full of it tonight. I've been listening to preaching and reading and praying all week. I'm about to blow up. I am. I tell you, my hope's in nothing less than his blood and righteousness tonight. Hallelujah. But this healing business, it shifts. He said, truly the signs of an apostle were done in me. So the apostles had signs, and the Jews require a sign. So when the ministry of the Holy Ghost shifted from Jew to Gentile, the signs, tongues, miracles, laying on of hands, healing, stuff like that, ceased as the apostles had them. Make sure you get what I just said. I did not say we don't pray for the sick. I did not say that God don't heal people now. I mean, do you hear lots of cases where people are sick and have a tumor or something and go to have surgery and they look and it's gone? I mean, that happens. That still happens right now. I've heard of it lots of times. But just make sure you get this straight. Make sure you get your doctrine right. Because a lot of people lose their faith when they don't get healed and think something's wrong with them or something. And sometimes people pray and pray and pray and pray and say, well, I didn't get healed. Listen, Fanny Crosby is one of the greatest Christians ever lived. And she was blind her whole life and died blind. And she died that way. She wasn't living in sin. Paul took a physician with him the last minute days of his life. He left Trophimus sick. He recommended Timothy to take medicine for his stomach problem. Paul wasn't backslid. The ministry had shifted from Jew to Gentile. From Jew to Gentile. Now, if you want to ask a question, you can. You can stop me anytime you want to. Because I'm not even going to my notes yet. I'm just talking off the top of my head. All right. Let's slow down just a little bit. We went through the Bible in relation to the Jew. The first divine healing there was leprosy there, Exodus chapter 4. And we don't want to take time to go into all that. It was a sign to Israel. Jesus had the signs of Moses, like he said, and then he gives those signs to the apostles. Now, if I'm wrong in what I'm teaching y'all, you bring a man in here, give me his phone number, that has the signs of an apostle. I mean, his shadow can copy somebody and they get well. Right? They lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. You say, well, they got to have the faith. Them dead people didn't have no faith. Dorcas didn't have no faith, brother. And Peter prayed and God raised her from the dead. If I'm wrong, you bring a man in here Sunday morning that has the signs of an apostle. And we'll take him right here and we'll put Bo right here and Bo will get well. And then we'll go over here to the hospital and we'll clean that place out at Grace Hospital. You say, well, Brother Danny, that's what the apostles did. Son, he said he healed every sickness and every disease among them people. That's what Jesus did. And that's what they did. And you might as well just admit it. You don't know nobody that can do that. And I don't either. You say, but if we had enough faith, I know God can do anything. I tell you what I do believe. Just show you how I'm balanced. I believe the Lord heals a lot of people on the mission field and does a miracle on the mission field probably because we don't have enough faith here in this country. Probably. I mean, you hear about all kinds of miracles taking place. Man, because we're so cold and worldly and backslid in America, churches don't see no miracles. And if we'd get right with God, we'd probably see some healings and some miracles. And I mean, really where God wants us to be. So don't think I'm against miracles and power. I'm all for it. Just he who boasts himself of a false gift is like a cloud without... like a big cloud and it ain't raining in 6 months. You say, boy, we're going to get rain. And it just goes over. That's the way these healers are. You really get your hopes up, boy. Something big's about to happen. And it's nothing. There's one woman up there, a woman dropped dead in the healing line. Dropped dead right over. Can you imagine that? be healed. And she falls over dead. And then they got up and said, well, the Lord healed her forever. You know, he wiggled out of it like that. I went down to Lincolnton today to pray with a lady. I drove down there. Bobby, what's Bobby's last name? Bobby Cook, mother, who's just at the point of death with cancer. And boy, their whole family gathered in. And they was crying, and it was so pitiful, but it was a sweet, sweet spirit. And it must be a good Christian woman, buddy, because you could feel the spirit in there. And I went down there today and I put my hand on her hand, and we prayed. And, you know, I got to thinking, you know, God could heal her. The Lord can heal her. But you have Christians dying every day with cancer. And there's a good woman. I mean, they said she'd pop up in church and give a testimony and everything. All them great preachers. As I said, Fanny Crosby died blind. And sometimes God heals us. Sometimes He don't. Sometimes He allows things to come our way that are not pleasant. So through the Bible, in relation to anyone, let me give you this rundown. I'm just going to say this quick. Sometimes people in the Bible get healed that are not right with God, and they think they are right because God healed them. You know anybody like that? That's 1 Kings chapter 13. Also, sometimes people, God uses medicine to heal. Isaiah 38, verse 20 and 21. Sometimes, no matter how many medicines are used, the person don't get healed. Jeremiah 46 and verse 11. There's also a case in the Bible where a man went only to the doctors and not to the Lord and died. In other words, Jesus said, well, the doctors helped me, and didn't seek the Lord, and he died. And then Paul took a doctor with him in his last years of his life. Acts chapter 27. Okay, we're going to talk for a minute about in Acts chapter 19, Paul could take a handkerchief from his body and send it to a person, and they could lay it on them and get well if anything was wrong with them. But a few years later, he recommends Timothy to take medicine. Why didn't he send Timothy a handkerchief? Because that was years ago when the Spirit was dealing with Jews, and then the Lord ceased to deal with Israel that required a sign and began to deal with Gentiles. Amen? That's the only explanation there is for it, people. That's the only explanation there is for it. In Acts chapter 16, Paul gets put in jail, and they pray, and the Lord shakes the jail, and the doors fly open. In 2 Timothy 4, he gets put in jail, and they pray, and they cut his head off. See the difference? You see the difference between Acts and Timothy? 2 Timothy is the last book he wrote. Fought a good fight, kept the faith, finished my course. You know, scripture in there, he was at the end of his ministry, an old man. He wasn't backslid, brother. He was preaching to them Gentiles, and they cut his head off. Amen? How come the doors didn't open up? How come a jail didn't open? Got a question? Somebody got a question? I wouldn't doubt it.
I mean, they've seen basic things like that.
I wouldn't doubt that a bit.
Story about someone who couldn't interpret or whatever, and the guy preached, and people understood him in his language in the home mission field in Romania.
I wouldn't doubt it. I wouldn't doubt that a bit. It probably did happen. And the stuff like that does happen on the mission field. Just like there's a lot of open demonic activity in those other countries. The Lord, there's a lot of God working in those countries. America is sort of lulled out. We've got so much in our belly, brother, God can't touch us most of the time. We've just got so, like an old preacher said one time, they said, do you believe we'll ever have revival in America? He said, nope, we've got too much. Yeah. That's what's wrong with us. We're spoiled rotten. I mean, churches can have revival, individuals can have revival, but this country ain't going to turn to God, people. This thing gone. That may sound pessimistic, and maybe I'm wrong. Hope I am. But you wait and see. You wait and see. The picture of the Laodicean church age is Jesus standing out on the outside knocking. saying, if any man hear my voice and open up, I'll sup with him. And he, the picture of the last days is the Lord's on the outside knocking, wanting just maybe one or two people, and the church will let him in fellowship with him. Lord have mercy. Lord have mercy. Lord have mercy, we need to pray. Lord have mercy, we need to fast. Lord have mercy, we need to seek God. Well, let's talk about what to do when you get sick for a few minutes tonight. And I told you we was going to do this, and there's four things you want to do. The first thing you do if you get sick, if you go to the doctor and get a bad report, I read somewhere this week that one, tonight I forgot what it is. You know, they're advertising. Sean, help me here. Tracy, help me. They are saying that cancer rate is down overall, but I read an article that said that is not really true, that certain kinds of cancer are way up. Is that right? Like prostate cancer, colon cancer, breast cancer, all of those are up. I don't know if that's true or not, but that's what I read. Y'all know? Anyway, overall, they said cancer rate is not down. That's what I read. And it does seem like everybody you talk to, just about, is getting one way that winds up with cancer. Men with prostate cancer and stuff like that. Ladies a lot with breast cancer. And it just seems like more and more and more and more. And I used to pray all the time, Lord, don't let mom get cancer. Lord, don't let mom get... I used to pray that every day. Lord, don't let her get cancer. Because my sister died with cancer. Her sisters, about several of her sisters died with cancer. Brothers died with cancer. It's all in her family. And I prayed and prayed and prayed. Prayed, Lord, don't... And she didn't get it that I know of. But, you know, she got that dementia. And when you got dementia and Alzheimer's, you just get to where... You don't eat. You starve to death, really. That's what you do. You starve to death. And a lot of times that's what cancer patients do. They starve to death. Your appetite is gone and shuts down. And Brother Derek has heard that word before. Miss Sue has heard that word before. And they've had a fight. He had a fight with it for how long, brother?
About 9 months.
And I remember that. I remember that when all that was going on. I preached the revival down there where he was pastoring. And... I remember praying for him and requesting prayer for him and asking the Lord to touch him, and evidently the Lord did. Amen. And much to the dismay of a lot of people, God left him here to torture people. But anyway, a preacher said one time, I ain't talking about you, brother. A preacher said one time, he said, man, we've had a lot of deaths in our church. He said, how come them meanings don't ever die? He said, it's my good members that die every time. He said, them mean ones live forever. I was talking about Fred Potter. Fred Potter said one time, I heard him say on tape, he's about all these deacons was giving him a fit. He said, he wanted to build a building or something, they was all against it and everything. And I talked to him one time and I said, Brother Fred, what'd you do about them old deacons that's against you? He said, I outlived them. He lived longer than they finally died, and then he done what the Lord wanted him to. But you know what? Them words are going to come to us. If we stay here long enough, we're going to hear that. Heart attack, cancer, diabetes, stuff like that. So what are you going to do? When you're real young, when you're 18, 19, you think, I ain't worried about getting sick. Man, you know, the older I get, you start getting worried because you know it's coming. Yeah. Something's coming. Amen. Listen, I've cheated it for a long time. I can't cheat it forever. I ain't stupid. My day's coming. And yours is too. My day's coming. I'm telling you, God's been good to me, good to me, good to me. I'm telling you, the Lord's been good to me. I don't have a pain in my body right now. But I ain't stupid either. I know this old flesh is rotten and it's got sin in it, on it, through it, and it's going to get sick and something. It's going to hurt. It's going to hurt. People don't deal with pain real good. Us creatures, us big, bad, tough people, yeah, yes, we think we're so strong and everything. You let pain hit your body just right, buddy, it'll put a big man. Old Bobby Dobson, Bobby, I was talking to him one day and he's had kidney stones and stuff. And he said, Brother Danny, he said, I was down in the floor crawling with sweat popping on me. Big Bobby, brother. something the size of a grain of sand, put him on his knees crying. And this old flesh, this flesh ain't as tough as people, you know, these guys walking around like, yeah, I'm big. You, that little bitty grain of sand hit you just right. And the kid, he said, man, you'd be down on the floor begging for mama to come and help you. So what do you do when you get sick? Here's what you do. Number one, the first thing you do when you get sick, write these down in the Bible because you're going to need it one day, is pray and ask God to help you and heal you. Seek Him first. 2 Chronicles 16:12. Let's look at that verse right quick. 2 Chronicles 16:12. Write it down because you're going to need it. Maybe by the weekend. Hate to sound so pessimistic, but it's coming to everybody. 16:12. 2 Chronicles 16:12. And Asa, in the 39th year of his reign, was diseased in his feet. He had gout, I reckon. Reckon that was gout? Now they say that'll sure mess up your day, brother. Anybody here? Sean, was it you? Had gout? Anybody else in here ever had gout? Not you, Sean. That Sean. That big Sean back yonder. The big Sean with the big feet. Yep, big feet, it hurts worse now. But I know people can't even walk because of that. That stuff hurts, they say, buddy. And I don't know. We got into a big discussion about that. Anyway, and in his disease, yet in his disease, he sought not to the Lord, but to the physicians. And he died, the next verse. If he had went to the Lord first, he might have lived. It almost hints to that. So the first thing you do is ask the Lord to heal you. That's what I'd do. Number two, if God don't heal you right then, I remember when I had that kidney stone, I'm telling you, I was up in my bedroom and I was going like this. You say, why didn't you lay down? You can't lay down. You can't lay down, you can't stand up, you can't say, there ain't no relief. And I was going like this and I looked at the clock. And I said, all right, Lord, I'm going to pray. If it ain't better than 15 minutes, I'm going to the hospital. And I prayed and I prayed and I prayed. And 15 minutes go by and I said, all right, if it ain't better than another 20 minutes, I'm going to the hospital. And I did that for about 2 hours. Walking back, and finally, Carissa was downstairs before her and Jeremy got married. And I went down there. I don't go to the emergency room, brother. I don't go to the emergency room because I got to pay for it. Amen. I got a paper out of my pocket, every penny of it, so I ain't going unless I'm dying. And I walked down there and I said, Krista, I've got to go to the hospital, honey. I am about to die. And she took me to the hospital. So the first thing I did was pray. The next thing you do, number two, scripturally, is call for the elders of the church. Call for the elders of the church. We had that happen here the other day. Have some people say, Brother Danny, I want y'all to pray. We took a young man in here, prayed for him, laid hands on him, and we'll do it right here. I got oil right here. We'll pray over you, anoint you with oil. There's no healing in the oil. The oil is simply a symbol of the Holy Spirit, just like the bread at the Lord's Supper is a symbol of the Lord's body. You pray and confess your faults and your sins. Confess your faults to one to another, that you may be healed. That's James chapter 5. James 5:16. Let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. That's scriptural. All right? Number three, the third thing you do is go to the doctor and claim Isaiah 38:20 and verse 21. Go to the doctor and claim, because God does use medicine. Medicine is not all of it, ain't of the devil. Doctors, all of them, are not of the devil. I'm glad they're there. I'm glad, man, I'm glad they, whatever they gave me up there in that hospital that day, Lord have mercy, it quit hurting. Amen. I didn't know I had a kidney in about an hour. I didn't say, what's a kidney? But, you know, thank God for whatever that was. It was a shot of something, brother. I'm telling you what. But you know what? That there's nothing wrong with medicine in its rightful place. The problem with people now is they're getting hooked on the medicine, and their medicine makes them worse off than their sickness does. Because then they become a drug addict. And you better watch. Let me throw in a little something right here. You better watch when you go to the doctor and ask them what they're giving you. Really? Listen, I'd rather hurt a little bit than get on hooked on Oxycontin. Amen? There may be a place for some of that stuff, and I'm not being critical of anybody who has to take any kind of medicine, but buddy, I know a good preacher friend of mine lost everything he had. That he hurt his back, and his back wouldn't quit hurting, kept going to the doctor. Next thing you know, he's hooked on it. He's a drug addict. Lost his church, lost his ministry, lost everything he had. And he told me, he said, "Brother Danny, I wouldn't have done that for nothing in the world." And anyway, that's what you do. Number four, if you still don't get better, if you pray and you don't get better, and you call for elders of church and you don't get better, and then you go to the doctor and you don't get better, you claim, number four, claim 2 Corinthians 12:9 and Romans 8:28 and say, "God's grace is sufficient. Thy will be done. For all things work together for good, them that love God, and them that are called according to His purpose." That's the Bible way, sensible way to handle being sick. Well, now we ain't got time tonight, but if we could, we could get into some things, and I'm sure you ladies, you know, and some of you men could help us on. Sometimes you can help cure yourself by changes in diet and habits. There's no doubt about it. There is no doubt about it. You can lower your blood pressure. You can lower your cholesterol. And I hate to say this, but they say that anything white sugar, white bread, stuff like that is what's killing us in America. And I can do without the bread. Goodness, I love sugar. I'm telling you. You know what I heard they said on the news the other day? A 20-ounce pop, they call it up north, a 20-ounce soda, what they call, has, I think, 16 teaspoons full of sugar in it. 16. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. 16 teaspoons of sugar in 1 20-ounce drink. And them girls, when we go to camp, every time we stop the store, they come out with a Mountain Dew that high. And then they got to start and go to the bathroom 20 miles up the road. And we start and go to the bathroom, they come out with another Mountain Dew about that high. Now, they ain't nothing worse than Mountain Dew except Sun Drop. Sun Drop's the worst, right? And then Mountain Dew, and then Pepsi Coke on down the line. You better, I'm not saying you can't never drink them, but you better limit that stuff. One time I had old Dr. Ruckman in the car with me. We was going somewhere after church, and Carrie was about that high in the back seat. She's back there drinking a Pepsi. And old Ruckman turned around and said, "You better quit drinking them, it'll gum up your veins. You better quit drinking them, it'll gum up your veins." Well, he's saying all that syrup in there. Imagine syrup. You know, I mean, you know that can't be good for you. Well, we're not going to get into a health class tonight, but sometimes we can help cure ourselves. Diet and exercise. Diet and exercise. Diet and exercise. Run. If you can't run, walk. If you can't walk, wiggle your toes. Do something. Move, brother. Move. I hurt my shoulder a long time ago playing ball, when I was in high school, I done something to my rotator cuff. I know I did. I remember I tied my arm down to my body like this and played left-handed for like 2 weeks because I didn't have enough sense to know it was a rotator cuff. I went to the doctor and got it fixed, but I didn't know. I just thought I pulled a muscle or something. And it's bothered me ever since. If I sleep on it a certain way. So they now have exercises that can help you with a rotator cuff tear. But you lay down, take weights and do them like this. They got stuff. A doctor told me a long time ago, I hurt my back lifting cross ties. Me and J.D. Ward was trying to put some cross ties around my house. And man, I'm telling you, cross ties, there ain't no way you can get a hold of them crazy things. And I was trying to lift them, and he's a lot bigger and stronger than me. And I hurt my back, and I went to the doctor, and the doctor told me, he said, if you'll exercise, it keeps the muscles around your spine strong, and they hold it in place. If you don't, they just go like that, and your spine is like, you know, and that's why you get hurt so easy. That's why if you don't ever exercise and you get out and do something, you'll sprain your ankle or something real easy. You've got to move. You've got to move. Make yourself move. If you can't do nothing but wiggle your toes and fingers and sling your arms, you know, do something. You've got to move. Amen? Cigarettes, smoking cigarettes, alcohol, all this, terrible. It's terrible for you. Terrible for you. And it'll mess you up. If you're young, you think it won't bother you. But as years go by, I believe my daddy'd be alive right now if he smoked probably how many cigarettes is in a pack? Well, he'd smoke about 60 a day. 60 a day. Three packs. So one gets out, light another. One gets light, got another. 60 cigarettes a day, brother. He'd smoke at least 2.5 packs a day. And them things are expensive. But I'm going to say this, and I'm through tonight. And I want to leave you on a note of a good note. Years ago, there's a man named Warner Solomon. He was a famous painter in the early 1900s. He painted a famous painting called The Head of Christ. He had tuberculosis. TB was bad back in them days. You had it, you died. Went to the doctor. The doctor said, you've got 3 months to live. He had only been married a little while. He told his bride, who was pregnant with his first child. He went home and told her. He said, I'm going to die in 3 months. And his wife jumped up and said, we're going to pray and thank God for the 3 months that we have together. Amen. We'll ask Him to use us to the fullest. And if He gives us more, we'll be grateful. And the Lord healed that old boy. He lived a long life and never died of old age. And God gave him extra time. Stuff like that happens. You know their attitude? Lord, we'll thank you for the 3 months we got left. If you choose to heal us, we'll live for you every day. That's the right attitude right there. Don't get mad at God and bitter at God and why God and mean old God. Listen, brother. This old body's sin, and because of that, the wages of sin is death. A man said one time, his little boy died, and he said, where was God? Asked the preacher, he said, where was God when my boy died? And the pastor said, God was the same place he was when his boy died, on the cross. He was in heaven watching. Sometimes sickness helps us get close to the Lord. Sometimes when you're sick, you'll pray and get right. Listen to this, and I'm through. I walked a mile with pleasure. She chatted all the way, but left me none the wiser with all she had to say. I walked a mile with sorrow, and not a word said she, but oh, the things I learned when sorrow walked with me. You'll learn more hurting than you will feeling good. Let me read that one more time. I walked a mile with pleasure. She chatted all the way, but left me none the wiser with all she had to say. I walked a mile with sorrow, and not a word said she, but oh, the things I learned when sorrow walked with me.
Amen.
Let's bow our heads for prayer. Heavenly Father, we know, God, that these old bodies are sinful and cursed, and we're going to hurt one of these days. God, give us the grace when that time comes to trust you, like Job did, like Fanny Crosby did, like the guy, the painter that I read about a minute ago did. Give it to us. Lord, I pray that you bless everybody in here with good health and many, many years of happiness. But Lord, we know that the odds are, if you don't come, that sickness is going to get in our bodies. We pray that we live right now so that we won't feel like a hypocrite calling on you then. Have your way in our lives. We love you. Thank you for our church. May we be drawn closer together to each other and to you through these series of study. And Lord, when somebody in our church gets sick, help us to rally around them and support them and pray with them and for them and try to be a blessing and a help to them, just like we'd want it to be when it's our turn someday. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. God bless you. You're at liberty to go. We're going to visit Saturday morning. Come on out and go with us. Prayer meeting Saturday night, y'all. Let's have prayer meeting Saturday night, 8 o'clock. Everybody's welcome. We'll just come and pray a little bit and then let you go. God bless you.